you love him, or capital H-I-M. Just put your paws off that because you were born this way, baby. My mama told me when I was young, we're all superstars. She pulled my hair, put my lipstick on, in the glass of purple dry. She said, nothing wrong with loving who you are. She said, it doesn't make you perfect, babe. So pull the hair, put in your profile. There's an I'm beautiful in your way, but tell me so. It takes time on the right track, baby. I just fall on the plate. Don't hurt yourself and regret. I'm on the same day. I'm on the right track, baby. I'm just fall on the plate. Just be a queen, don't be a drag, just be a queen. Don't be a drag, just be a queen. Give yourself prudence and love your friends, so we can rejoice the truth.
Are you all excited?
I must be myself, respect my youth. Sorry for
Facebook, turn your phones over,
get your notebook. Just be a queen, whether you're broke or evergreen. Your blood's white face, your life is set. Your Lebanese, your Orient. Whether life disabilities left you outcast for leader teeth. Rejoice and love yourself today, because baby, you were born this way.
All right, now let's do this. Hello, my gosh. Hi, Shanna. Hi, Dina. Hi, Ina. Hi, Coach MJ. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I might start crying. It's like how I would imagine, like walking out on stage on Oprah or something, like getting my makeup on, listening to the music, like, whoo, so fun. So just a little reminder, please focus today. I want to hold you for about an hour. We might go over just a little bit, but come here. Pay attention, shut down your other applications, shut your door, lock it, put your no BS door hanger up there and focus for the next hour. We're going to have some fun. I'm going to make over drinking a fun topic to explore and pump you guys up to let you know that you can do this and you can have any relationship with alcohol that you want to have. All right. So MJ is going to be in the chat. She will be, you know, navigating if I need to send links to you all or something. She's going to be your go-to. And I'm excited. All right. So I'm going to jump in. Just a little quick introduction. My name is Angela Masenik. I'm a certified life coach. I help badass women stop over drinking. I have my own coaching practice. Corinne and I and all of the coaches in the NoBS program have been trained through the Life Coach School. That's where I got my certification. And I've had my own private practice for about 3 years now. So I was somebody that overdrank for my whole adult life ever since I was in college. I partied hard, binge drank on the weekends. As I got older, that turned more into like a sophisticated alcohol habit with wine and traveling and entertaining. I was in pharmaceutical sales for a long time. I had high expense accounts. I traveled a lot. And as I got older, it just creeped up in there a little bit more and more and more. And I also struggled with food, constantly being on a diet. That's probably been a longer struggle for me than the alcohol. Actually, I was on a diet and doing SlimFast since I was, you know, in middle school. So I know it. All right. I really, really do. And if I can do this stuff and change my relationship with alcohol forever, I promise you, you can too. And lose weight at the same time and have fun while doing it. So I'm going to jump in. So you guys should all have the workbook. If you haven't gotten the workbook, I think MJ is going to link that up in the chat. I think I saw some of you guys ask that, but if you don't have it, just take notes in your notebook. You know, it doesn't matter if you don't have it right in front of you, don't panic. It's available to you on the Mindful Drinking website. You can go back and print it off later or download it, whatever you need to do. I'm going to give you a little overview about why we overdrink in the first place. I think it's so helpful for you to have that context when you look at why you might be overdrinking. That's probably the most common question I get is like, why do I keep doing this? Why do I say that I'm only going to have one or two and I end up drinking like three or four, or, you know, I'm good during the week and then I totally overdo it on the weekend. And I'm going to tell you why. That's the first part of understanding why you're doing what you're doing. And I'm going to be, you know, weaving in the food in there as well. When I did this for myself, I tackled both at the same time. I've lost 55 pounds. I don't drink anymore, but with my journey to not drinking, I explored mindful drinking and planning ahead and working through urges and all of that stuff. And then I just got to the point where I just didn't want it. Like, I reduced my desire for it so much that it didn't do anything for me. I didn't like the taste anymore. And I'm just like, I don't need this. So enough about me. We're going to jump into the workbook. So I'm just going to sort of do some teaching, and then that'll probably last about 15 or 20 minutes. Answer a few questions, and then I'm gonna bring you guys on for coaching. So if you don't need to raise your hands yet, but if you want to come on and get coaching, you can just do. We'll probably spend about half the call or so doing some coaching as well. All right. So going into why we're over drinking, and I really want to talk about over drinking for a second. I want to preface this with, this is not, you know, for people that are addicted to alcohol, like they can't function without it. This is for most of you are here. You tend to over drink, or you, it's really hard for you to unwire that nightly wine habit or something like that. Sometimes you drink two or three glasses of wine and you want to eat more. That's who this work is for. So if you are physically addicted to alcohol, as you know, we are not medically trained. We can't help you get off of that. Like, if you can't function and you need medical support. So just wanted to preface it with that. So overdrinking is a learned behavior, and we overdrink, and I promise you, this is the reason we overdrink, because we're seeking to feel an emotion that we currently don't feel in the moment we want to drink. Okay. So I really want you guys to hear me on that. We're over drinking because we're seeking to feel an emotion we currently don't feel in the moment. So like the most common example I have is, it's been a long day. Maybe you're at home with your kids, or you're at work, or maybe it's both right now at home all at the same time. And we look to feel relaxed at the end of the day. Okay. And that's come around 5:30, you've finished up your work day. Now it's time to make dinner, do whatever you do in the evenings. And you're like, I just want to relax. And then your brain's like, ting, ding, ding. Ooh, a glass of wine would be fun right now. All right. And if you've done that over and over again, you've trained your brain to seek that alcohol, that drink, to help you relax. Okay. So relaxation is a feeling that we have. It's an emotion. And if we currently aren't relaxed, we're probably experiencing some other emotion, maybe tension, anxiety, boredom, restlessness, stress, right? Overwhelm. Those are some very common emotions. So we're currently experiencing something like that, and we don't want to be. We're seeking the relaxation, and we turn to alcohol for that. Okay. We unconsciously believe that alcohol is the answer to feel something that we currently don't feel. Okay. When we continue to drink from our feelings, or to amplify our feelings, this isn't all just about negative feelings either. It's to amplify some of the good stuff, or to feel more joy or more excitement, okay, or more celebratory. When we continue to drink from this place, we develop these neural pathways in our brain that we're very highly motivated to keep doing it. So basically what happens is, we have this motivational triad in our brain. Okay. We're seeking pleasure, avoiding pain, and saving energy. That is always running in our brains. That's how we have stayed alive as a species till today. Okay. And it's, we'll probably always be there. It's just human function. And when you think about it, if you're feeling an emotion that you don't really like, let's say stress, okay, or anxiety, it feels painful, right? And this is all unconscious, but it feels uncomfortable. And we don't like to feel that. And so then if we introduce alcohol, that motivational triad, like, oh yeah, well, you're in pain right now. We're going to help you. We're going to motivate you to get out of that pain. And we're going to get you to go seek some pleasure. And if you've been doing that with alcohol, it's like you've trained your brain to just go do it. Your brain wants to save as much energy as possible in this process. So it's not going to like, oh, we should go try something new. Let's go pick up a new hobby right now to feel better. That's just not how the motivational triad works. It's like you've been doing the same thing over and over again. There's a very strong motivator there from your brain to go do the same thing. It's easy, it's quick, and you get that hit of pleasure. All right. Does that make sense about why we are over drinking? This doesn't happen typically overnight. This is developed pathways that we've done in response to a lot of our feelings. And we think that it's just a habit. And habits are nothing more than an action that we repeat over and over and over again. And then that habit is ingrained. But it always is prefaced by how we're feeling or don't want to feel, or we want to feel more of something. Okay. Let me know if you guys have any questions about that. Let me check the Q&A here. We're good. All right. So the other part of this is, so we've got this over desire for alcohol. And then when you drink from that place, we need to drink more. Okay. And what also adds to that over desire for alcohol is the thoughts that we have about our drinks, right? So the thoughts and the beliefs that you have around alcohol create the results of your over drinking. So just think about the think, feel, do cycle that Corinne teaches. So your thoughts create your feelings and your feelings drive your actions. Okay. So the action of drinking or eating is prefaced with first the feeling, but that we got to back that up and look at the thoughts as well. So when you have thoughts like, oh, I just love my wine. You know, I need wine to have fun. I can't imagine going to a holiday work party or event and only having one. Everyone drinks. I should be able to drink. This is the only thing I get to do. I need a glass of wine. So these are just some very common thoughts you probably have. And now I want you guys to really become conscious of it. And you're probably going to start noticing more chatter in your brains about how much you are thinking about alcohol, or if maybe some of you are doing a dry January and you're probably pretty conscious of some of these thoughts, like, well, everybody else is drinking and I should be able to drink like everybody else. And I mean, this was very common thinking for me, and it's very common thinking for my clients. So if we just pick out one of those thoughts and we plug it into the think, feel, do cycle, we can see how this may not turn out well, right? So you want to check your thoughts that you have and your beliefs that you have about alcohol and make sure that they're not causing you to feel some emotion that's driving the act of you drinking more, okay? So in the workbook, I use this example of the thought, the very common thought, I need a glass of wine. It sounds innocent, right? But when you think it, most people feel this kind of desperation or this urge to drink, right? And that desperation, that urginess is going to drive you to take action, right? You're going to go do something. You're going to go pour that glass of wine. So for all of you that want to cut back on this, it's so important that you look at your thoughts, right? Like we all know, Corinne says this over and over again, that the real money here and the real work lies up in here. The sentences that are floating around in your brain, we need to dump them all out, look at them, look at all of your beliefs and thoughts around alcohol and check them in the think, feel, do cycle to make sure that you like what they're creating for you. So there's an exercise in the workbook where you can do that. There's a thought download there, little journal exercise where you can uncover those thoughts for yourself. There's also a really good podcast that I produced recently. It's called What is Fun? And basically it unpacks some of the thoughts that we have about alcohol that we think alcohol adds more to our life. Like some of the biggest fears my clients have, including myself when I started this, was I'm worried my life is going to be over. Everyone around me drinks. My whole family drinks. You know, all of my friends. I mean, my husband and I got married in a winery. Okay. So like, I get it, but we want to check what you think and what you're calling fun around your story with alcohol and look at the whole picture. Yes, it might be fun for an hour or two when you're like right in the middle, you've got a, you know, a glass or two of wine, you've got that buzz going, but you've got to look at the whole picture, because I'm guessing if you're here or if this is something you're struggling with, it's not always fun, right? It's not fun when you wake up in the middle of the night, sweating, heart palpitations, dying of thirst, heart pounding, headache. It's not fun when you wake up and the first freaking thought in your mind is, why did I do that again last night? I said I wasn't going to drink. Right. And then you berate yourself all morning. And then come 5 o'clock, you're like, oh, one glass of wine won't hurt. And then you start that cycle. That whole thing is not fun. Uh-oh. I don't know what happened to my video. Hold on. Oh, technology. Okay. So there's a really fun podcast episode for you guys to listen to called What is Fun? Highly recommend that you do that. All right. And start being aware of the story that you're telling yourself about how important alcohol is in your life and how much fun it is and your fears about yourself being boring. Okay. So the other thing I want to talk to you guys about is deciding, you know, you all get to decide what kind of relationship you want to have with alcohol, just like you get to decide what kind of relationship you want to have with food. It's really no different. A lot of people are so scared to think that they can have whatever relationship that they want to have with alcohol. And I'm here to tell you that you can have whatever you want. You get to choose what that looks like. And if you're willing to do the work, you can have a very nice relationship with alcohol and meet your weight loss goals and have a good time doing it. Okay. It does not have to be all or nothing. You get to try not drinking. You get to try planned drinking. You get to try going to social situations and having one or two, going to other social situations, not having any. What I want y'all to be open to is experimenting in all the different scenarios, drinking, not drinking, limiting, having a few. All right. Also, there is no good or bad decisions about alcohol. There's just decisions. And then you have thoughts about those decisions after you've had the drinks. That's it. We need to remove a lot of the shame that we have around it and what you've done in the past, if you've overdrank or if you've struggled with this for a long time. The shame cycle, as you know, through this work with Crit and the No BS, it does not help you. It holds you back and it does not keep you open to understanding what the real issues are. And we know that that's the areas in your life, right? It's not about the alcohol, just like it's not about the food that you eat, right? It's about your feelings and about what you're thinking about the areas of your life. So I want you guys to kind of dream about this. Like, if you could have any relationship with alcohol and lose weight, what would that look like for you? Like, what would be perfect for you to have? So just go there with yourself, like go there now, like 6 months down the road. We're in summer of July, 2021. You're maybe you're a goal weight. You're not over drinking. You're feeling confident and strong and not thinking about food and alcohol so much. And you trust that when you make a plan, you'll likely stick to it. And if you don't, you don't dwell or spin out in shame or any of that. You just evaluate it and you move on and you're doing more things in your life that you want to do. You wake up feeling amazing, you're journaling, you're connecting with yourself and your goals, and you're doing what you actually want to be doing. You're healthy and active and you're inspiring to your family and your friends around you. So that is available. If you guys can visualize that in your brain right now, that means that it's possible. It really, really is. So you get to decide again, what kind of relationship that you have want to have with food and alcohol. And then go to work doing it, okay? It's not like we can't expect this to happen overnight. Just like we can't expect to drop a bunch of weight without doing the work to get there. We can follow a diet. Somebody could give you a plan and you could drop the weight. Or you could do a dry January and just be like, I'm not going to drink and just, you know, resist your way through that. You can do that. But to make permanent changes with this stuff, you have to be willing to do the work. And it doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be daunting or terrible or any of that stuff. It can be super fun and enlightening. And it was the best work that I've ever done in my life. And that's mostly what my clients experience. Now, some of them tell me it's hard at times, but really, like, it's all about what's going on up here, right? So in the workbook there, there's a space for you to describe, like go into the future for yourself and describe what that perfect relationship with alcohol looks like. All right. So now I want to talk to you all about creating a drink plan. You all know probably pretty well how to create your food plan if you follow the No BS planner, right? The idea is to plan your food and alcohol in advance and not in the moment, because when you're in the moment, remember, you're at the effect of that primitive brain and its wants and desires, and it's going to motivate you to get the quickest hit of pleasure and not experience any suffering, right? Or, you know, expending any energy. So the idea here around alcohol is the same exact thing. You want to create your drink plan 24 hours in advance at least. All right. I actually make my clients do a week in advance. And there's a worksheet in this workbook that you make your drink plan for the week as well. But bare bones, no drinks unless it's been planned 24 hours in advance. I would even recommend, like, even with the food, sometimes I do my 24-hour plan in the morning. I would not plan alcohol in the morning. I would plan it 24 hours in advance. All right. So no same day decisions with alcohol. That's really like the only hard and fast rule here. The other one is no switching your drink plans based on last minute social engagements. So I know everyone tells, well, I don't know what I'm going to be doing on Friday night. I don't know what I'm going to be doing on Saturday, right? I don't know if people are coming over. I don't know where I'm going to be. That's okay. Just decide which days you're going to have your drinks and how many, and put it on your plan. And then go experience that event with that plan. And if it happens that you have your drinks on there, enjoy them. If not, go and explore what it's like going to a social event without it. It won't kill you or get you pregnant, like Trin likes to say, right? You can be uncomfortable. You have to be willing to be uncomfortable here. It's work for you, but it's worth every ounce of it. Okay. That's where that confidence comes in. When you get into those situations and you don't drink, right, you're going to gain some confidence from that. And then you're going to be willing to go a little bit further next time. All right. So if the other thing I want to talk about with this drink plan is if you're feeling emotionally charged. So say you planned for 2 glasses of wine on a Thursday, all right? And you've had a long day and shit has hit the fan and it's time for your drinks and you are feeling like super anxious or stressed or worn out and you're like, you know, I can't wait to have my drinks. I would highly recommend that you don't. Okay. So like process those feelings, go into your body, get yourself into a more neutral place, maybe go journal, get yourself down and then have your drinks. And if you can't do that, put them on the plan for tomorrow. All right. Because remember, like the whole, how the brain is working, you want to become unemotionally attached to using alcohol as a tool to make yourself feel better. So even if it's on the plan, I don't recommend that you do that. So you guys are ultimately in charge of that decision. But after coaching several hundred women, including myself on this, you want to learn how to feel those feelings. That's the underlying issues to why you're drinking in the first place. So look at that as an opportunity for you to grow and evolve and undo that automatic process where you've trained your brain to seek alcohol when you feel that way. So if you got drinks on your plan, you're feeling emotionally charged, process, get yourself down, have them later. If you can't do that, you're still worked up, put them on your plan for tomorrow. All right. So when you're creating that plan, you want to visualize that person 6 months from now that is living it, right? Drinking on occasion, not over drinking, honoring their commitments to themselves, make your plan according to your goals. And then how do you drink? Why are you drinking? There's also spaces in the worksheet for you to fill that in as well. All right. And then what you want to do is be very specific. What kind of drink you're going to have? Okay. What times? I like to put the window of time in there, like between 7 and 9 p.m., I'm going to have 2 glasses of Cabernet. That's how specific you want to be. And you may say, well, I don't know what I'm going to want to drink. You know what your favorite drinks are, all right? Like, you know what you like. So just put that on the plan. Don't overthink this stuff, okay? Let me know if you all have any questions about that. And there's a weekly drink plan in the workbook for every week of this program. Oh, yes. Coach MJ, she says, make your plan based on your goals, not your social plan. Absolutely. So you don't want to like spend too much time like manipulating it and just changing it because you don't want to, you know, be uncomfortable in a social situation. Like if you can't go to a social situation without drinking, that's something you want to check out, because that's a sign that you're emotionally attached to alcohol and you need alcohol to be able to socialize. And no, but that's not freedom. That's not fun, right? Like, you want to be able to take it or leave it. And if you can't, then you want to evaluate that and get some coaching on that. I can quit beer. I can quit hard liquor. What is it about wine? So what I found with the wine or whatever your beverage of choice is, the one that you drink the most is the one that is harder to quit, because that's the repetition there. You've trained your brain with that much. That's your preferences. That's your tastes. You know, it's just like, you know, a lot of people have issues with popcorn or French fries. Like, they just eat it a lot. So they have a very strong over desire for it. And there's some strong neural pathways there. Is it normal that while I want to do this, I feel annoyed that I have to look at this and plan, not look at this video, look at the drinking? Yeah. I mean, I would just check that, right? Like, is it, what are you thinking that's making you feel annoyed? Is it like, now this is something else I have to do? Well, like, if you don't have goals to stop over drinking, you don't have to do this, right? None of this is required. But if you want to stop over drinking and you want to look at your relationship with alcohol and food, then yes, like, maybe change your thoughts to make you feel more open, accepting to it, right? So good. So we got a question. I can't imagine not drinking. I truly can't. I have been having a glass of wine at the end of the day for over 25 years. So Sherry, do you want to change that? You get to decide. So I'm guessing if you're here, you're questioning things, right? So I would just challenge yourself. Like, that is a thought. I can't imagine not drinking. I truly can't. That's a sentence in your brain. You get to decide if you want to keep thinking that, or if you're open to changing it. You know, like, if you want to not drink every day, then I would recommend changing that thought. What can you visualize? Like, what is possible for you to visualize? Think about it. Debbie says, I can make a plan, but once I start, I often keep going. Thinking of limiting to 2 glasses brings skepticism in my mind, like my thoughts already sabotage. How do I deal with that? So you just want to uncover what the thoughts are. So Debbie, like, in the think, feel, do cycle, if you think about the three, say, I've planned 3 glasses, okay, what are your thoughts about it? Let's uncover those first. And then you're going to reveal that that leaves you feeling skeptical, right? And then the skepticalness, that feeling, is going to probably drive you drinking more, right? Because nobody really likes to feel that uncomfortableness. Like, I don't know if I can do this. We'll see what happens, right? And then they go into it. And then usually when you feel that way, you don't stick to your plan. So we don't want to uncover what you're thinking about sticking to your plan. Julie says, can you address reducing glasses of wine to see wins, or is it better to just not drink? You guys get to decide that. If you want to just reduce the amount and the quantity or the frequency in which you're drinking as to start, absolutely. Take wins where you can get them. I don't recommend abstinence or moderation. I recommend that you all get to decide what that relationship with alcohol looks like, and you should be open to experimenting with it. So what do you think is doable for you? Make your drink plan for 1 week and just be open to experimenting and trying it, right? And then also what I wanted to tell you all on in the workbook, there's an evaluation. So you're going to create your drink plan, okay? And then you're going to evaluate. So if you stuck to your drink plan, you want to do an evaluation. And if you didn't, especially if you didn't, because you want to uncover the thoughts and the feelings and what was happening for you that led you to not stick to your plan. That is the awareness. And once you have awareness, you can change. I seem to be frozen. Can you guys still see me? I am totally frozen. All right. Chrissy says, having a hard time stopping after starting. Last night plan was 4 drinks, but felt like I needed one more. How do I stick with a plan in the moment when I just don't care as much? That's a really good question. Actually, Chrissy, there's a podcast episode that I wrote recently. MJ, do you think you could put that one in the chat? It's how do I stop after I have had planned drinks? It's one of the more recent podcast episodes. But I go into detail. You need to have a strategy on hand. You want to be very conscious of what is happening in your brain as you're drinking. And there's questions that you can ask yourself. In the podcast, I ask you to be very conscious, keep a journal, right? Like notice the common thoughts that come up for you when you want to have the 4th or 5th glass. So I'm sure you can recognize those thoughts now. Like you can probably remember them. One more won't hurt. It doesn't matter. I'll just finish the bottle. Who cares? Those types of thoughts. Like you want to be prepared with what you're going to say to yourself in that moment after you've had alcohol in the brain. This is where it gets a little bit trickier than with food, right? So like your brain is definitely affected by alcohol. You know, it's your decision-making ability is impaired. So you want to be able to stay super conscious. I think it's easier to do when you've had less alcohol. So like 4 glasses of wine, you know, if this is a problem for you to stick to, if you're planning 4, maybe you plan for 2 and then you just watch your brain and become an observer and notice those types of thoughts and then go from there. Planning 4 drinks, in my experience, that's harder to do at that point, right? The other thing you want to ask yourself is like, why do you need to plan 4 drinks? Like, what do you think that you're getting out of having 4 drinks, right? 4 drinks, we're definitely, depending on how much you drink on a regular basis, like definitely pretty buzzed. Like, why do you want to get that buzz? And this is not coming from any judgment at all from me. Like, you guys need to ask yourself that question. Like, what are you using alcohol to do? Why do you want that high buzzy feeling? You have to answer those questions yourself. And it's just be curious and please don't judge yourselves. Like a lot of people say, I just want to numb out. That's okay for you to uncover inside your brain. All right. It doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you or you're a bad person or any of that. So you just want to uncover like why you would want to put 4 drinks on your plan. There's a question in the drink plan worksheet. Like, why am I drinking? You want to uncover that. Okay. When I make this drink plan, I am doing it as I am drinking now, or as I'm doing it as my future self and cutting back. You want to have your goals in mind, right? So think about your future self 6 months down the line, what your relationship with alcohol would look like, how much you're drinking, how often, okay? And then make your drink plan closer to that where you want to be than where you are now. You want to feel a little uncomfortable with it. It's like just like when you think about making your weight loss goal, right? You're like, okay, I could lose 5 pounds in 3 months. That would be really easy. Is that going to challenge me? Am I going to grow too much? Probably not. Y'all, I am so sorry about the video. I do not know why it's doing this. All right. So look at the worksheet, answer that question, like why you are drinking, and that will be very revealing for you. You're welcome. Marie, ever since my cousin called me unreliable in the evening when I drink, my desire to drink has dropped. I can't decide to ride this to stop drinking or to test the desire by planning drinks and becoming a more mindful drinker. You get to decide, Marie. There's no right or wrong decision there. What do you want? Like, do you want to be able to trust yourself around alcohol? Do you feel like you trust yourself around alcohol now? Like, so Marie, if you were to have a drink in a planned way, do you feel like you would honor your drink plan? Like, what are your first automatic thoughts about that? Don't worry about like changing your thoughts about it this month, at this moment. But really what I want for all of you is to just trust yourselves, just like you want to trust yourself around Doritos or ice cream or pizza, right? You can become somebody, if you want to, become somebody that doesn't overdrink. You can easily, by doing this work, right, and be willing to feel uncomfortable, you can stop it a couple. But you have to be willing to do the work to do that. And you also have to be willing to fail. So when you think about any goal that you have, over drinking and doing this work is no different. We have to be willing to fail to get there. And you have to be willing to not shame yourself when that happens. Like, the failure is proof that you're actually trying to do something. And if you evaluate that failure and you learn from it, it's not a wasted failure. There's so much valuable information there that can help make to propel you towards your goals. Yeah, Chrissy says, because I wanted the buzz, it's hard to start out why. So just keep asking, you're like, why do I want this buzz? What am I trying to escape from the end of the day? Ask your brain. Don't accept, I don't know. I love how empowering this technique is, Angela. Does it make sense to wean oneself slowly into the future? For instance, I have a cocktail nightly, but my goal is to do it twice a week, to perhaps allow 5 nights next week and 4 nights the following week. That seems more doable. Is this something you would suggest to a client who you came to a private practice? Are there any standards? You all get to decide what that looks like. So for me, in my own experience, I didn't want it to drag on forever and ever. So I was willing to be uncomfortable, a lot more uncomfortable, in a shorter amount of time. So you get to decide what that looks like. I really recommend you don't think about it more than a week in advance. It's like you've got your 6 month goal, but you really don't let your brain like think too much about it past that. Like, I'm going to make my drink plan this week, and then I'm going to evaluate what that was like. Did I follow it? What were my abs? You know, what things do I need to work on next week? And just take it week by week. And there's no right or wrong approach. You guys are all in charge of this. That's the beautiful part of this work. Like, there's not one prescribed way of in which I recommend that you do it. You get to decide. Make sure it's coming from a good place, from curiosity, from self-love. You definitely don't want to make decisions like, oh my gosh, I'm so sick of myself and all my drinking. I'm not going to drink for 6 months. I don't recommend that, because that's coming from like there's something wrong with you, right? Like, so if you follow Corinne and what she talks about self-love, like, you want to have compassion for yourself and understanding and curiosity, right? And love when you make these types of decisions. So that's what I have about that. Yes. All right. Who wants some coaching? Who wants to come on and get directly coaching from me? Raise your hand. Scrolling. I don't see hands raised. I know there's like one hand raised. Well, hold on. Where are you? I have to scroll. There's so many of you. Hold on. I'll find you. Coming. Coach MJ, I might need your help. I cannot see their raised hands. I see that there's 5 hands raised, but I can't, like, their hand isn't raised next to their name. Oh, never mind. Okay. It was all at the top. All right, Debbie, I'm going to bring you on. Hi. Hi. Unmute yourself. There you go.
There we go. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I can't believe I got called first. I'm a little nervous. My accountability group has been saying, get on one of these calls with MJ, but thank you for what you're doing.
You're welcome.
Well, I've posted a couple of questions in here. I mean, for just a little bit, I've been mostly not a social drinker, just really going and buying like one of the big bottles of wine on the weekends. And usually it just lasts the weekend. But then there are times when I will buy more, and it's like, I can't keep wine in my house, because if it's here, it's just calling my name. I'll have a couple of glasses a night. But usually when I do start, I'll have more than I planned or more than I want. Yeah. And when I think about, I just asked the question, I really like all of the planning around it and think and planning the wine. So I just printed the workbook and I'm going to do a lot of that. But I've heard the saying, you know, like your reasons. If you're going to put it on your plan, why are you putting it on your plan? Mm-hmm. And most of the time it is because I'm just tired. I want to relax. I want that buzz. Mm-hmm. I've always thought I was kind of boring. And so I want to like, it's fun. I think I'm more fun, you know, all of that stuff that I hear. So, I don't know, but it makes me anxious because I don't have a lot of social contacts and I do feel like, okay, what am I going to do? So I guess I need to do that work on my future self.
But yeah. What do you mean when you're like worried about what you're going to do? Like, this is my only thing that I have. Is that?
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I'm a little afraid to go after some of the things that I would rather have, you know what I mean? Cause I feel like maybe I'm lazy or maybe I'm too tired to do those things. But at the same time, I do want to experience my life a little bit differently.
Yeah. So. I think for you, like you want to uncover all of your beliefs that you have about you, like the I'm boring, you know, I'm lazy, like all of those thoughts, like, you know,
yeah.
Like how long have you been in No BS?
Since April of 19, I've lost 60 pounds.
Oh my gosh.
But I haven't, you know, and I just put back about 8 of those, and a lot of that was because over the holidays and the snow days and I was going out and buying wine.
Yeah.
So, I was able to lose the 60, really enjoying it. But I know I haven't done a lot of the thought work around this. So like when I gain again, it's usually because of the wine.
Yeah. So when you think thoughts like, I feel like I'm lazy or I'm more fun, you know, or I'm boring, you know, like because you've lost the weight, like that those are thoughts that aren't going to help you. Right.
Right.
Because when you think that about yourself, you don't feel good. Like that's not something that's going to evoke a lot of self-love. That's probably going to be more like frustration or self-loathing. And so, you know, when you feel that way, what do you tend to do?
Yeah. I want to get away from that
and
do what is what I associate, you know, from when I was young. I mean, I'm 52, I'm not in college anymore, you know, and now I have a college age daughter who, you know, I enjoy hanging out with her, you know, but I want to be a better example for when, you know, I understand there's a period that you go through, but I think when you do that in college and that's like your time of coming out and having fun, it's hard. It's interesting. You hear a lot of people talk about that, about that.
Anyway. Yeah, it's like, you know, we just weren't taught how to be adults without having drinks in our hands. Like it was like that for me, like all of my social interactions, it was always with alcohol or marijuana, you know, so like we literally don't know how to do that sometimes. And so you just have to learn. It's just something that it's a new skill that you're going to have to learn. Who am I without a drink in my hand? How can I be this person without a drink in my hand? What do I think of myself without a drink in my hand? You know?
Yeah. And I do think about, because when we get together with family too, my family, it's all about the wine. So, you know, even on holidays, I mean, we all overdo it. Mm-hmm. So I think about that too. And I've heard people being coached on that. Like, how are you going to handle those situations? So I still am thinking about that. How am I going to do that? But
yeah. So when you ask yourself that question, what do you say?
I mean, I usually do make a plan. Like one holiday I said, I'm going to do like a little in the corner of the kitchen where nobody can see, a little tickler. So I know how many I've had, like a little, of course, my brother found it and started as a joke, putting a bunch more ticks on it. And then at that point I just lost, you know, but I mean, even with the food though, I was able to do that. Right. I mean, I was able to,
how did you do it with the food?
I just didn't make a big deal of it, to be honest. I just enjoyed, if they said something, usually they'd be off to something else in a minute. I would just say no.
You did, like, did you plan? Did you journal? Did you have a strong mindset before you went to the holiday party? Like, I've got my food plan. This is what I'm going to be eating. I'm going to say no when they offer me seconds. Like, did you have that strategy before you? So that's exactly what you want to think about, how you want to think before you go into those types of situations. And it's exactly the same as what you're doing with food.
Yeah. And I could like easily say no to a donut at work and things like that, but it's harder for me with the wine. But I know that's just a thought.
The other thought that I wrote down that you said as soon as you started, and you should go back and watch the replay of this, is I can't keep wine in my house.
Yeah.
Do you want to keep wine in your house?
I do. I mean, I'd like to be able to, you know, it's just, I feel like right now when it's there, it's just, I don't know, so sounds silly, but it like calls my name.
It's like, that's what's not it's true, the, though. Yeah, it doesn't do anything but sit on the shelf, right?
I know, yeah.
I would drop that story, like stop saying it calls my name, because it doesn't. It just sits there and it has no power until you get into your brain and your brain starts firing thoughts like, it's calling my name. I can't not drink it if it's in the house.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you think you could think instead of I can't keep wine in the house?
I'm in control. The wine is there. I can choose to plan it.
How does that feel?
It feels better. Mm-hmm. And I think too, like, I don't know. I've gotten used to like a certain kind of wine. And I found when I like the idea of like even just enjoying it. Like when I've discovered food again, as opposed to it being, you know, overeating, I've actually enjoyed the food more. So I can see myself being, you know, learning more about the wine and how it tastes with certain, pairing it with foods and enjoying it for those reasons, as opposed to the buzz and things like that.
Yes. Yeah. So mindful drinking is the course topic, right? So when you have your planned drink, I highly recommend that, just like Corinne has the fuck it foods worksheet. Have you ever done one of those?
No.
Highly recommend that you do. So like you could all use that worksheet. If maybe MJ, if you could link it up, but like use the fuck it foods worksheet for alcohol. We used to call it the TZ is powerful worksheet, but it's basically like you sit down with your planned glass of wine, and every taste, every sip that you take, you write down the thought that comes up in your head, how it feels, the experience of it. And you get really aware of it. How is your desire for it? Does it make you want to just chug the whole glass? Or is it like, it's not that important? To really see like the realness of the experience of having that glass of wine. Most people that are over drinkers are doing other things. They're like cooking dinner, or they're watching TV, or they're working, like at the end of the day, like doing extra work on their computer or something. They're like multitasking while they're drinking and they're not conscious. And we tend to drink a lot more when we do that too. So like, as you all are learning how to do this and becoming conscious and mindful of your alcohol, when you sit down with your planned drink, sit down with it. Don't look at your phone. Don't scroll. Like, be super aware and present with it and enjoy it and take a sip of it and notice what is happening for yourself with that. It's a completely different experience. And when you drink from a planned way and you're not in response to those feelings, like I need to relax type response, the desire for it isn't as high. And you're just like, it really isn't that interesting. You know what I mean? So you're not going to want to chug it. You're going to want to just sip on it. It's nice, but it's not like, oh my gosh, give me all of it.
Right.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. Like if you're feeling stressed or bored and we eat, right? We're like probably like way more shoveling that food inside of our mouth quicker and not really even tasting it. It's the same thing with alcohol.
Right. That's a good suggestion. Yeah. Okay. I'll do that.
All right.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you very much. Bye.
All right. Peggy. Hello. It should be asking you to start your video. Peggy, are you there? All right, Peggy, we may have to come back to you. All right, Amy.
Unmute.
Hi.
Hi, can you see me?
Not yet.
Okay.
There you are.
Hi. I'm super. I'm a little nervous. So I wrote some notes down because I really didn't know that I was going to have time to come on here. So here are some things. I still haven't figured out what my relationship with alcohol, what I want that to be, whether I want to be a non-drinker, a drink on the weekends, limit myself to one or two a night, and what that looks like. What I have realized is that I feel so much better without it, mm-hmm. and typically feel really kind of icky when I do drink, whether it's I drink too much or I was like, gosh, you know, I didn't really need to drink that glass of wine, mm-hmm. Which, to be honest, usually isn't just one glass of wine. I'm trying not to have this all or nothing attitude with my drinking, and scaling back hasn't worked in the past. If I limit myself to two drinks a night or on any given night, I just forget all about that by drink two. You kind of talked about that before. So what I have chosen for myself several times throughout this last year, and kind of on that bandwagon now, is not drinking at all. Mm-hmm. And kind of doing a little reset and then journaling and decide what I want to do later. I guess I just need a little validation that that's okay. But I don't feel like I'm restricting myself, mm-hmm. but I feel like I'm doing an all or nothing. I mean, I'm worried about what somebody else is thinking, that I'm doing an all or nothing and that's not good. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm looking for validation that it's okay to not want to do that or to just have nothing for right now.
Yeah. I mean, I can tell you that's fine, but what is most important?
What
you think?
I don't even know what I think right now. I think that it's okay for me to do what I need to do right now in order to get to a place later.
Okay. So how does that thought make you feel?
Empowered.
Okay.
It makes me a little scared because the people I'm around are drinkers, mm-hmm. and I will have to explain myself. Mm-hmm. Correction. I don't have to explain myself. I'm a grown-ass woman.
Yeah.
It's just different, mm-hmm. than the people that I'm around. And I can say I'm doing this for me. And when I'm by myself with my journal, it's a little harder to say that when I'm discussing it with my husband or with my friend. Or I have a really good accountability group that we started, mm-hmm. last year during, I think, December. There was a mastering drinking thing. Mm-hmm. And we still stay in touch and we've grown from that place. We're just still growing.
Yeah. So when was the last time you drank?
This last weekend. Okay. Holiday week.
Was it planned?
Oh, I wasn't planning. I mean, yes, it was planned because I was like, oh, I know I'm going to do that. So I just didn't bother to plan anything because I knew I was going to be a fool. Okay,
so this is this new decision to not drink until you feel more comfortable is a recent decision?
I have made it a few times over the last year.
Okay.
But yes, this is a new decision for this time.
Okay. I think maybe just a suggestion here is just like, that's a fine decision for you to make. Like, and it sounds, mm-hmm. like the thought of you doing that makes you feel empowered. But what if you have a backup plan? What if there's a time where you're like, I do want to drink? What's the strategy that you could have around your desire to drink in that moment?
So that makes me a little squirmy because I haven't found success in that before, having a protocol.
I guarantee you haven't done this kind of work to do it.
No, probably not.
So don't say that to yourself.
Okay.
Really don't.
But like, I still like,
I know, like, this is very common. Listen, this is so common. A lot of you guys come to me and you're like, I don't know if I want to quit. And then I also don't know what I want, like, in the future, but I don't want to plan for it because that's against my goals. And like, you just get all caught up in your head about it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Sound familiar?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay. Like, let's take a deep breath. Listen, you haven't learned how to not overdrink. That's it.
That's true.
Okay. This is a skill that you have not yet acquired. So when you think about it like that, are you more open to acquiring that skill?
Yes.
Okay. Are you willing to fail on your way to acquiring that skill?
Yes.
Okay. So when you fail, what are you going to make that mean about yourself? Are you going to come back and say, see, I can't do this. I've tried moderating in the past, like all of that same old.
I would like to think that I can say, okay, chalk that up to some experience mm-hmm. and move on because today is a new day.
Yeah.
But I can say that to myself, but in the back of my mind, I've got this little nag and I know she's in there, mm-hmm. That I tell her to be quiet every once in a while.
Yeah.
So those self-defeating words don't come up much. Because I'm able to say the words back, but then I repeat the behavior. Yeah. I keep doing the thing that I don't want to do.
Yeah. So this is what I want to recommend. So all of you guys need to check in with your belief on your capabilities to be somebody that doesn't overdrink. Okay. So like when I ask you the question, what do you believe about your capabilities to be somebody who doesn't overdrink? What are the first thoughts that come up for you?
Right now,
mm-hmm.
I certainly hope that's a possibility for me.
So when you think, I hope that's a possibility for me, what's the feeling that you get? Really think about that for a second.
I feel like that's not enough.
Mm.
That's not, I feel like I'm a strong woman. I can do so many other things. Why is this thing?
Okay.
Why does
thing is it happen? Doubt?
It's doubt, and I don't know how to put it into words, but it's just that evidence from before, which I know is crap.
Okay, so like when we go into the past and we look for evidence and then we try to come to a conclusion, it's usually doubtful or disbelief or it's unbelievable.
So yes, but that doesn't feel like the word that I'm, I guess doubt would be it because, you know, can I actually do that? Is this something that I can actually do for myself?
Yeah. So when you have this thought, like, what was the thought? Like, I hope that this is a possibility for me or, mm-hmm. and you feel doubtful when you think that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what I want to show you is like, if you don't clean that up and start working on your belief that you are capable of doing this and do everyday thought work on that one sentence in your brain, like if this is a really big goal for you to accomplish, mm-hmm. then it's worth putting in the effort to it. So okay. When I look at my goals, you know, and I have like major goals for the year and I check myself. What am I currently thinking about accomplishing that goal? I question just like what I did with you, the first thought that comes up. And then I put that in the think, feel, do cycle. I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's not going to work out too well for me. Right. So how can I think about this in a way that will help me accomplish my goal? So what do you think you could think that will help you be somebody that doesn't overdrink?
Something about, you know, I have been consistent for X number of days. I feel really good about myself. And how do I want to feel tomorrow? how do I
really think about like your end goal, like your ability to do that. It's a simple thought. Like I can see I can do this. I am open to being able to do this. I see the possibility that I can do this. It's just a little shift in what you notice the difference, but like, I'm open to seeing the possibility versus like, I hope that I can, right?
Right. One comes from a positive place. One comes from kind of underneath.
Right. Right.
Okay.
So that's, I would do some work on that and just come up with a thought that you can believe today about your capability to do this. And then you go to town on cementing that new neural pathway about it. So when you do have a failure, you don't come back to this old thought loop that's like, you can't do this. See, you can't moderate. You can't do this, right? So if you've got a very strong success thought pattern going on and you have a failure, it's going to be so much easier to be like, nope, I'm doing this. This doesn't mean anything about myself. I'm going to evaluate this and I'm going to move on and I'm going to keep moving forward. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. It does. Thank
and
you.
I also would just take it week by week. So make a drink plan for yourself. Forever. Even if you guys have decided that you don't want to drink, you want to write down no drinks Monday, no drinks Tuesday, no drink. You know what I mean? So fill out the drink plan worksheet and just be like, I'm going to do this. No drinks for 7 days. I'm going to do an evaluation about that. And then I'm going to make another decision. And that takes the pressure off of thinking about it so long term.
Okay. I'll do that then. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye. All right, let's do one more. How about Nancy F? Hi. There you go. Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Crap. I can hear you and see you.
Okay, now I can hear you. Sorry. Okay. I was listening to you on my TV and then I switched to the computer and now I messed it all up. Okay, so as far as drinking goes, I have been working a lot on my relationship with drinking and what I want my relationship with drinking to be. Mm-hmm. I went and I did dry January or dry December just because I wanted to try it. And I was able to do it. One of my big things that I tell myself with drinking is that it makes me a better pool player. I started playing pool with my boyfriend and a bunch of our friends. And so I was like, well, I'm going to take off December. And so I will continue to play pool and I will see, like take some data and see if this is a real thing or if this is not a real thing. And the data actually supports that I'm better at pool when I drink. So
right. Well, I want to look at the data.
I'm trying to figure out now what's the next step and like, what do I do?
Okay. So is it important for more important for you to be a good pool player or is it more important for you to improve your relationship with alcohol?
Oh, I mean, I guess it is to improve the relationship with alcohol.
Because you can always also improve your pool game.
True.
Just like you don't know how, like I was talking about being social in college and stuff. Like we didn't know how to do that without a drink in our hand.
Right.
And you have to relearn how to do that. So maybe you just need to practice more playing pool sober so that you can get better at playing pool sober. You know what I mean? Don't take your data from December and like make this giant conclusion about
it. 1 month and just take it as. Okay. That's very possible because it was like, okay, well, it's probably a story. It's probably not real. It's probably not, so I'll just take some data. And then when the data was like, no, you actually are better at pool drunk. Then I was like,
No. Also, I think like, if you could analyze your thoughts before you were playing sober, you were probably like, I'm going to see if this is better sober and like working yourself up and nervous. And then,
that's a good point.
You know, there's so many, it's just not a good science experiment. Okay, your brain wants to
be a good one.
This is like sneaky.
Myself wrong, you know? Like,
yeah.
Prove myself that pool, it'll be fine either way. And then it was like the night that like in January, shortly after the holidays, I played in a tournament and I won second place, and I don't remember the last game that we played because I had drunk that much.
Yeah.
And so it was like,
so like, what's the point then? Right. You're winning at pool, but you don't even remember winning it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
okay. So what do you want to do?
So I don't know. I think I think I would like to continue drinking on the weekends.
Okay.
But I'm not sure. I'm going to keep trying. I think I'm going to keep trying to play pool without drinking.
Okay.
And see how it goes.
Yeah, you can have both, it sounds like.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would do the drink plan in the workbook. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then just see what happens with yourself. Notice when you are playing pool sober, like what your thoughts are about it.
That's a good point, because I think you're right. I'm probably sitting there like, you know, if I had had a drink, I would be winning this game or, you know, something like that.
You could decide to be like, oh my gosh, my goal is to be a better pool player. Let's see how awesome I can be sober today. Like mindset shifts, right?
Right, right. Yeah, that's a very good point, because you're absolutely probably right that I'm probably sitting there like, right, not gonna be as good tonight because I'm not drinking.
Right. And you know that our thoughts create our results. So
yeah. Okay. Well, that was easy.
Okay, you got this.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Bye. All right, y'all. That's what we got for tonight. That was so fun. You guys are a bunch of badasses for showing up and being open to hearing this and doing this work. Please make your drink plan. If you haven't done it yet, go over to the worksheet right now in your journal. You don't even need the workbook. Write what you will be having as far as alcohol is concerned every day for the next 7 days. All right, my friends, we'll see you next Wednesday at 6 p.m. Same time, same place. I'll be popping in the Facebook group. If you guys haven't joined that, there's a special Facebook group for this program. I can answer questions. You can tag the coaches, go to Ask Coaches and ask any questions there for probably more immediate feedback. And I love you all and good luck. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.